That's exciting news about San Mendocino Valley. Hey man, I'm so glad you guys are here today. We're gonna talk about how to have real conversations. How many of you guys would say that having a real conversation is difficult? Raise your hands, right? We're gonna talk about real things, not like about what's your favorite football team or you know why they choked or lost in the Super Bowl or anything like that, right? I mean, it's difficult when you're talking about real issues. But the reality is we will never become who God's called us to be until we can have these real conversations. And we're going to look today at a conversation where Jesus has a very, very real, uncomfortable, awkward conversation with a woman. But ultimately, this awkward, uncomfortable conversation sets her free and changes her life. And my prayer for you today is that Jesus would have a conversation with you, and that would stimulate conversations with others, and it would change both your life and the people's lives that you know and you love. So let's jump into the message, Becoming Real with Others. We're going to begin in John chapter 4, verse 6. It says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from a long walk, and he sat wearily beside a well about noontime. So Jesus is traveling, you know, according to his budget, which meant he walked because he didn't have a lot of money. So, you know, there's no way he couldn't rent a donkey or anything like that. So he's walking. It's hot. Israel is like Southern California. So think about taking a walk in the summertime, maybe from Riverside to Hemet. So it's going to be a hot walk, long walk. That's where he's going. He's tired. He's sitting alongside the well, but he has an opportunity to start a conversation with a woman who's also at this well, intentionally in the middle of the day by herself. You see, you went to the well early in the morning or late at night in the cool of the morning or the cool of the evening, and you went with friends. This woman is intentionally gone in the middle of the day to be by herself because she doesn't have a lot of friends. Matter of fact, she probably doesn't have any friends because of the life that she's lived. So here you have Jesus alone at the well. You have a woman alone at the well, and a conversation, a real conversation, ensues. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Now, this is an awkward conversation. This is like a conversation with somebody in the elevator. Anybody ever been in an elevator when somebody starts talking? It's like, I don't want to talk to you. Let's both pretend we're not in here. Just press the button. Let's go up or go down, right? It's weird. Like, what if you're in an elevator and somebody says, hi, my name's Matt. What's yours? You're like, I'm in the elevator with a serial killer. That's what you're going to say. It's just like, it's awkward. It's like gas stations. You don't go to gas stations to talk to people, right? You don't want anybody to talk to me. Anytime somebody talks to me at a gas station, I'm like, what? What? Right? You're not jumpy at gas stations. I'm always a little jumpy. And so this is kind of like that scenario. They're at Arco, you know, the Arco of Hemet. They're there. And he's like a man talking to a woman, which, ladies, that's awkward when a guy starts talking to you. So this is strange. Okay, soon a Samaritan woman came to drink water or get water. And Jesus said, please give me a drink, because he was thirsty. And he was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. So Jesus sends Jewish disciples into a Samaritan village to get kosher food, okay? That's like trying to find Mexican food in Ireland, okay? They're gonna be there a while, and they're gonna try to find the specific food for their culture. But Jesus has done this intentionally. He knows that he's gonna have this long conversation, and so he sent the disciples on a long journey. It's gonna be difficult for them to fulfill. So the woman was surprised, yeah, uncomfortable, awkward, this is weird. For Jews, that's who Jesus was, refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. A lot of racial tension in Israel between Jews and Samaritans. They didn't like each other. They had different religions. They were different ethnicities. A lot of hostility in this region, and yet they shared the same country. And so here they are together, and Jesus wants to strike up this conversation. He says, please give me a drink. The woman was surprised, and she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman, okay? Not only are we separated by race, not only are we separated by religion, but we're also separated by our gender. And men don't talk to women. Jewish men don't talk to Samaritan women, okay? You don't do this. This doesn't happen. Your reputation is at stake, Jesus, but he talks to her anyways because he cares less about his reputation and more about people. And he cares about her, and he wants to do the right thing. So this is where it gets weird. And just write in your notes, Jesus does a Jedi mind trick, right? This is like, this is not the droid you're looking for. So he asks her for water. She says, you shouldn't ask me for water. And Jesus replies, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. So just imagine for a second, you're at Arco gas station. Somebody comes up and says, can I have $10 for gas? And you're like, why do you need gas? And they're like, well, if you knew who I was, you would ask for me for money for gas and I would give it to you. Like that's, you're just like this, wait a minute, I'm confused. So think about that. Somebody comes up to you at a gas station, asks for money for gas. Then you say, who are you? And they say, if you knew who I was, you would ask me and I would give you free gas forever. It's weird. It's weird. So Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. She says, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, underline these words, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? Now, this woman is thick-skinned, stiff-necked. She's a rough lady, okay? If this woman is in your small group, you're like praying every week, please, I hope she's sick. Okay, this is who this woman is. She's a tough lady. She's a tough lady, difficult lady. And she's basically sparring with the Son of God. That's what she's doing. She's like Karate Kidding him. She's after him. She's literally saying, so are you saying you're better than Jacob? She's arguing with Jesus. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. He doesn't get involved in a senseless argument. And this is what he says. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, pointing to the well. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. Check this out, a fresh bubbling spring within them. This is amazing. And she says, I gotta have this water. It must be Aquafina or something like that. I gotta have this water. And Jesus says, fine, go and get your husband. So this is where Jesus shifts from being a Jedi to a samurai. And just so you know, if you're new to Christianity, that's what Jesus does. At first it's like, ooh, wow, that's cool. Look at the lightsaber. And then he's a samurai and you're cut in half. That's what happens. So you just gotta, you know, and that's what's going to happen here. I'm going to be really, really funny, but ha-ha, and then, ooh, it hurts. That's the way God works. He says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. You see, that's a problem. There's a reason she's alone at the well by herself. You see, no woman would be friends with her. She's untouchable. If you're her girlfriend, your reputation is ruined because you're with her. And so she says, honestly, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. But you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. Jesus just opened up a can of real. And it's like, uncomfortable, awkward, right? This just went from, can I get a drink, to, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. And I just want you to understand this, that Jesus wants to have a real conversation with you. He wants to talk about what's really going on in your life. And so many of us are going to do just what the woman does. You're going to deflect and you're going to push attention off and you're going to focus on something else. But let me just say this. All the things that are around you are not your problem. You're your problem. You're your challenge. And your life will never change until you can change yourself. And so Jesus speaks to her and he begins to talk to her. And she says, you know, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. You certainly spoke the truth. Verse 19, she tries to deflect. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Duh. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship while the Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where your ancestors worship? So here's the question. Do I have to be Catholic? Do I have to be Lutheran? Should I be a Baptist? Should I be Jewish? What should I be? So the question is, how should I worship? Or excuse me, where should I worship? And Jesus wants to answer how you should worship. So some of you grew up Catholic, some of you grew up Lutheran, some of you grew up atheist. Jesus doesn't want to change the location of where you worship. He wants to change the condition of your heart as you worship. So she says, tell me, why do you and Jews insist that we should worship here while we know that we should worship here? She's trying to get him politically riled up. So here's the question, is Jesus a Democrat or Republican? And all that does is tick everybody off. She's trying to deflect attention from herself to a contemporary issue. And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship. He says, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. If you didn't know this, Jesus Christ was a Jewish man. But the time is coming, and indeed is now here, when true worshipers, circle those words, that's a real Christian, true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. Underline these words because we're going to come back to it. For God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Let me share with you why our vision at Sandals Church is for you to be real with other people. Because you need to have real conversations with real people so that you can experience real change. If she never has this conversation with Jesus, her life is never changed. And let me just say this, my sermon may inspire you, but real conversations in your real community group will really change your life. I can inspire you, but I can't change you. Relationships change you. It's why Jesus doesn't preach a sermon to the 12 disciples. What does he do? He invites them to be in a small group for 3 years. You see, that's where the real issues come out. That's where the real mess is. And that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to put you in a spiritual community where you can have real conversations about what's really going on so you can experience real change. You see, so many of you, you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again in your life and you're expecting different results. You want God to change everything about your life, but you are not willing to change anything in your life. And what you need to do is you need to be in conversations with people that know and love you so they can challenge you. You see, Jesus is the Son of God, so he supernaturally knows things about her that he doesn't have to learn through conversation. But we don't have Jesus in our church. He's in heaven. He rules and he reigns there. We have his Spirit. And so what we need is the Holy Spirit residing in other believers who can speak truth in our lives. That's what we all need. So I want to talk to you today about how to build real Christian relationships. Real Christian relationships. Some of you have some great relationships, but they are not with Christians. And that's fine. I want you to have real relationships with people who don't know Jesus because you should share Jesus. But at some point, you're going to have to surround yourself by spiritual community, or listen to me, you're going to leave your spiritual community and you won't be in church in 5 years. This is an important issue. So real Christian relationships require a couple things. Number one, self-awareness. You can only be as real with others as you are with yourself. I would imagine if Jesus asked this woman, "What do you think your biggest problem in life is?" Ladies, what do you think she would have said? I think she would have said, "Men. Can't stand men. Men are all the same. Men are dirtbags. Can't trust a man. Men cheat. Men are dishonest. Men do this, men do that." Right? Does anybody know a woman like that who hates all men? I always say, "I'm a man." They're like, "No, you're not. You're a pastor," which is emasculating, right? Literally, women say, "You're not a man. You're a pastor." Well, that's hurtful. I am a man who is a pastor. I always say that, right? Not every guy's a dirtbag, maybe just the ones you find, right? Maybe you need to change where you shop. That's all I'm saying. Some of you got that. You'll laugh at that on the way home. Some of you ladies are shooting daggers at me right now. Listen, she needs to become self-aware because her problem is not men. She's been married 5 times. She's living with a guy right now who won't even marry her. Why would God reveal to this woman these words, "God is Spirit"? I ask you to circle it. Because this is what I think the man Jesus Christ is saying to this woman who's been married 5 times and is currently living with a man. I think he's saying, "God is not a man. Quit chasing men." Listen to me, ladies. A man will never make you happy in the way that you need to be made happy, and he will never fill your heart the way your heart needs to be filled. Only God can do that. And I realize many of you women are lonely, but the deepest ache of your heart is for God, and it can only be filled by him. My job is not to fulfill my wife's complete life. That's God's job. I'm not God. And if she thinks that I'm supposed to be God in her life, I will fail all day, every day. This woman needs to become self-aware. Her greatest problem is not men, it's that she worships men. And she pursues them. And she believes that the next guy or the next guy or the guy after that's going to make her happy. And Jesus says, stop. Stop. So let me ask you this. What is it that you're pursuing? What is it that you chase? What is it that you worship that you're so convinced is going to make you happy, that's going to fulfill your desires? Is it someone of the opposite sex? Someone of the same sex? Is it a new job? Is it an old job? Is it a new kid? Or is it one kid? Or is it no kids? What is it that you're chasing that you just believe if you can get a hold of that thing, you'll be happy? I'm here to tell you, it's a lie. And many of us right now are chasing the wrong things. And God wants us to learn to become self-aware. You can only be as real with others as you are with yourself. Jesus said it this way. Why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your eye, then you'll be able to see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Listen, if you're not real with yourself, if you're not self-aware, you are dangerous to yourself and to those you love. You need to become real. What do you feel like this woman's life was like for her kids? Because she was lacking self-awareness. What do you think was happening to those who loved her, to those who cared about her, because she didn't realize she was chasing the wrong thing? You see, your blindness, your spiritual blindness, doesn't just affect you. It affects the people who are counting on you, and it affects the people that love you and need you. We all need to become self-aware. We all need to be aware, right? Anybody ever been in Target or a store when some parent is losing it on their kid? Anybody ever seen that? You're like, oh my gosh, that person's abusive. You're just sitting there in judgment. Oh my gosh. You're like, that person's out of control. But when you do the very same thing, you were just letting your kids know where you are. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I didn't beat my kids. I just gave them a piece of my mind with my hand. Isn't it amazing? We can judge everybody else. Like, are you aware of when someone's an idiot on the road driving? Are you aware? Do you need anybody to tell you that person's stupid? Do you need anybody to point that out? No, you're like, oh, idiot, 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 idiot. And then what do you do? What do you do? You see somebody that cuts you off will text on your phone. So what do? You text on your phone. There was this idiot who just cut me off, and then we're texting on the phone. They should know better not to send texts because it's dangerous. Oh, it didn't send. Send, 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 right? You do exactly the same thing. I mean, when's the last time you called yourself an idiot texting while driving? Idiot, stop that. No. But you do what I do. You drive by, you see people talking on the phone. Ticket, 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 ticket. I have fantasies about being a police officer and just writing tickets all day. Right? And then I turn around and do the very same thing. Right? Anybody get irritated when somebody rolls through a stop sign and cuts you off? And then you roll through the stop sign and cut the other person off? Sorry, I was mad at that idiot. Self-awareness. You need to be real with yourself. Next, you have to have healthy spiritual community. You cannot be real with yourself unless you have people around you who can help you be real. Do you know why this is? We all have blind spots. Now you say, well, this woman was aware she'd been married 5 times and was currently living with her husband. But you know what? Many of us can live just as difficult and destructive lives and not be aware of why we're doing it. You need somebody to say, stop. You need healthy spiritual community. I remember one time I was in a small group with a gal at our church, and she was in an abusive relationship. This boyfriend had beat her up. He went to jail. And she came to small group. A couple weeks later, he got out of jail, and she had a ring on her finger. And guess who gave it to her? The guy. And so she announced to a small group, I got engaged. And all the idiots in our group are like, ah! I'm like, stop. Stop. I said, you should not marry this guy. This guy is a dirtbag. You know what she did? She left our group. Years later, you know what she told me? Thank you. Thank you. You're the only person who told me the truth. You need healthy spiritual community. You guys need to change your community. A lot of you guys have dysfunctional families. I mean, you go to church to escape. You're like, oh my God, I need an hour. Right? The only way you can get away from your family is like, it's for Jesus. It is. It's for Jesus. You're like, oh, thank God. Your mom's like, can I come to church? Like, no. No. You wouldn't like it. Right? I mean, you know your family's dysfunctional when you're telling your kids, church is boring. It's boring. I just need a break. Listen, you need healthy people in your life. Some of you come from homes where everybody's a drunk, everybody's been in prison, everybody's a wreck, and you think that's the way everyone is. I've never been to prison. Well, I have been to prison, but not as a participant. I was a visitor. I had a badge, and I waved to everyone on the other side of the bars. I'm way too cute to be in prison. Just being real, okay? You need healthy spiritual community. Let me ask you this. What sets Jesus apart from every other man in her life? He's healthy. He's healthy. You know what, ladies? The only way you're ever going to trust men is to meet a good one. To have a guy in your group who says, don't marry that guy. Don't date that guy. Don't be with that guy. Not all men are that way. There's a lot of good men in this world. And you need them in your life to protect you, to love you, to point you in the right direction. Guys, same thing about women. You got to watch them. You got to be careful. You need healthy spiritual community. You need dudes in your life that are like, bro, I know she's cute, but you're an idiot. Right? That woman is straight from hell. Run. Today, run. You need people that love you. Here's the problem. Some of you have gotten a group and everybody was lame in the group. You're like, oh, I tried that. I'm never doing that again. Listen, I've been in some groups that are lame at this church. I'm telling you. But you know what? I've also been in some groups that have changed my life. And I am grateful for the people that have spoken into my life. Jesus says this, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls and then turn and attack you. Listen to what Jesus is saying. Some of you, I just feel the Holy Spirit saying that someone in here needs to write this down. Some people are unsafe. Do you understand that? And you don't need to pray for them to get better. You need to get away. You need healthy spiritual community. And you're like, I don't know what to do. You know why? Because you're not in healthy spiritual community. People that pray for you, that love you, and love Jesus will help you make the best decision possible. They'll help you know when to get away. They'll help you know if you need to escape or if you need to double down and work harder. Next, in order to have real Christian relationships, you got to have grace and love for people. Look, if you don't love people, please don't start a small group. Please. You're like, I just love the Bible. That's not enough. It's not enough to love Scripture. It's not even enough to just love God. You got to love people. And to love people, it requires grace. Have you met a person, right? The Bible says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Why would God say that? Have you met a Christian? Okay, some of you need to tattoo this verse on your forehead because you cuss people out leaving church. And you're flipping off the volunteer. What's your problem, you person who gives up your hours on Sunday so I can park? Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance. Circle that word, an allowance. Make a weekly allowance for idiots. Every week, people that tick you off. Because here's what's happened. Some of you, that guy ticked me off in small group. I'm never going back. Make an allowance. Some people need a big allowance. Somebody's an idiot in your small group. You go, here you go. They say, what's that? It's your allowance. Pass out grace dollars. Here you go. You take it all. You got to make an allowance for each other's what? Faults. Because of your love. You know what love does? Love overlooks faults, doesn't it? Right? Anybody, you know, see, anybody know somebody that's been dating for like a day?
Oh my gosh, they're the most amazing person in the whole world. I love everything about them.
No, you don't. You don't know them yet. Right? I mean, they can't see straight. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. I've had people say stupid things. I'm the only one that knows him. No, his mom knows him and she hates him. It's true. Right? That's what love does. So I don't want you to have stupid love, but I want you to have love filled with grace. You got to love people. People are difficult. You got to have grace and love for people. Here's what I want you to do. If God's calling you to open up a Rogo group, I just want you to love the people. Just love them like God loves them. Because you know what? Nobody loved this woman. Nobody. She had no girlfriends, and all the men in her life used her. They didn't love her. But Jesus loved her. He loved her. He challenged her, but he loved her. He started with grace. Next, you got to be in a to have real Christian relationships, you got to have the truth to be spoken. The truth must be spoken. Okay, Sandals Church isn't soft on sin. We're not saying it's okay to do whatever you want. Here's what we believe about sin. We believe sin is spiritual cancer and it destroys you and everything in your life. That's what sin does. So you can keep sinning. It'll destroy your life. The Bible says this, sin always leads to death, always. Keep sinning. It'll kill you and the people you love every single time. That's what sin does. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you and set you free from that which wants to kill you. You need the truth to be spoken. The Bible says this, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. You need somebody that loves you enough in your life to look you square in the face and to tell you, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. Jesus wasn't saying that to judge her. He was saying that so she could be set free. Most of you don't have a friend in the world that loves you enough to tell you the truth. I'm so grateful that over 20 years ago, I met this little blonde firecracker. Her name is Tammy. She is a truth teller and a crap smeller. That's what she is, man. She's like, I smell bull crap. And I poop a lot of bull crap. That's just the reality. And I remember the first time I knew she was for real, man. I'd given my life to Christ, and I was trying to change my life, and I'd been given the opportunity to speak and preach. And I was really, really nervous. I'd never done it before. And so I got up, and I preached, and I'm just going to tell you, I was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, it was awesome, and I'm the humblest guy in the room. It was incredible, right? And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the next Billy Graham, Great Glory, watch out, here I come. I'm going to be so awesome. And everybody was coming forward to tell me how I changed their life, and I'm like, no, go again. No, tell me again. No, no, no. How did I change your life, right? And so this whole time, like, there's this line of fans. They're like, oh my gosh, that was so incredible. But Tammy wasn't in the line. And so it was kind of throwing me off because she wasn't in the line. And she was over in the, like, on the front row, of course, like sitting there, like head down, shaking her head. And I was like, wow, man, maybe she's sinning and she's wrestling with that. So I'm going to pray for her while I'm, you know, blessing my people. I'm going to pray for her. She never got in the line. And so I, you know, humbly said thank you to every single person that complimented me. And we walked out and got in the car together. And I was like, what's your problem? You're ruining my vibe. My buzz is like, you know, what is going on? I was awesome. I was so awesome. And you're killing me. And my girlfriend, who's now my wife at the time, she's still my wife. This is what she said. She said, you were awesome. That's not what bothers me. She said, what bothers me is who you were on stage is not who you are. She said, I love you, and I hope and pray that you can become the man that was on stage, but you're not. And I was like, listen to me. I would not be here, and I would not be your pastor had she not set me free from living a fake life. I would be just like this woman at the well, doing stupid things on my fifth or sixth relationship, screwed up, a disaster, but thank God somebody loved me enough to call me on my crap and to say, change, change. Look, we can all talk like we're Christians, right? We can all pretend to be Christians. If you don't believe me, get on Christian Mingle. You'll find people. You know I say it all the time. It doesn't mean they're Christian. You're like, it does. They take a test. They take a psychological evaluation and they're Christian. Yeah. They're just there to mingle. Trust me. You need people that love you enough to tell you the truth. Listen to me, single people. You don't need a husband or a wife. You need a spiritual community that helps you grow. Because most of you who are singles are in no position to marry the man or the woman of your dreams because they won't date you yet. Don't settle for the person that'll date the version of you that you are right now. Wait for the one who wants you to be who God's called you to be. And the only way that happens is when spiritual community comes around you and challenges you in love. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Sandals' vision is not to be rude with ourselves, others, and God. It's to be real. Growing in every way to be more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Let me just point out here that what this text says is the way that we become like Jesus is when we speak the truth in love to one another. Please, for the love of God, those of you who are in community group, have the courage to challenge people in love. Have the courage. They may walk away. You may lose the relationship, but I promise you, at some point, many of them will come back later and thank you. Next, in order to have real Christian relationships, it requires opportunities for confession. How many of you guys grew up Catholic? Raise your hands if you grew up Catholic, okay? Look around. These people know way more about confession than we do. Amen, Catholics? Amen? Yes. Right? So, here's the problem. If you're not Catholic, you don't know how to do this. Like, you know, if you're Catholic, it's kind of weird. You go into this box where there's a dude on the other side of the cage and it's really dark and you can't see him, but you share like your deepest, darkest secrets and then you say a couple prayers. But at least you have an idea of what that's like. If you didn't grow up Catholic, like you don't ever confess. Like you don't tell anybody anything, okay? We are called to confess our sins. You need an opportunity to confess. I've been married 5 times. I'm currently living with this man. And he won't marry me. You need that opportunity. You need it. We all need it. We're all sinners. Look what the Bible says. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. And the what? We're not living in the truth. So Catholics, when you go to confession, the priest's first question is this. When was your last confession? It's a great question. Let me ask you this, Sandalites. When have you ever confessed? For most of you, it's never. It's never. Let me explain to you why you need to learn to confess your sin. A, we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. Dude, I sin when I'm praying. Anybody do that? That's just like, I just feel so bad. Anybody ever sin while you're reading the Bible? Oh, it's just like, oh, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I'm like a grade A sinner. That's who I am. I sin every day. I need to confess on a regular basis. The Bible says this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We confess to God to be forgiven. We confess to each other to experience healing. And some of you that are wrestling with a secret addiction, a secret struggle, and you ask God over and over and over again to help you conquer it, to help you heal from it, to help you deal with it, here's why you're failing. Because you haven't shared it with a brother in Christ. Only a brother or sister in Christ can help you heal. You don't need to confess to a priest. You don't need to confess to a pastor. You need to confess to somebody who loves Jesus and loves you. And let me tell you why. Look at the next verse. It says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Let's just take a survey. How many of you guys want God to hear and answer your prayers? Raise your hands. You're like, no, I just do it because I like talking to myself. I want God to hear my prayers. I want God to answer my prayers. Do you know what helps that happen? When you confess your sins to each other. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous person, and what is a righteous person? A righteous person is someone who's confessed their sins to God and to one another. That's a righteous person. That is a person who is right with God. A person who is right with God prays, and there are powerful and wonderful results. 17 years ago, I was at a birthday party, and there was an 8-week-old baby that was at the party, and we don't know exactly what happened. Her mother was holding her, and we don't know if she had a stroke or a heart attack or a heart attack and a stroke, but the 8-week-old baby stopped breathing. We're all at this party. Everybody was frantic. Everybody was panicking. I'll never forget it. The mother of the infant collapsed on my front lawn. We called 911, and we realized they're not going to get here in time. The baby was turning blue. The baby was dead. It was over. It was finished. And so a couple people from my house jumped in a car, started doing CPR, and drove as fast as they could to the hospital, blazing fast, running through stop signs. They got there. We got there soon afterwards, and the ICU unit, they were working on this baby, and they didn't have the right equipment because the baby was so small to do all those things. They had to bring in special paddles to shock the baby's heart. Well, they shocked the baby's heart, and she started breathing again. And then they realized that in doing CPR on the infant, we had broken her ribs. So now here's a baby who's had a heart attack, a baby's had a stroke, and she now has broken ribs and is fighting for her life. A doctor came out to a group of us and just told us this, look, let me point you to the meditation room. They don't call it a prayer room, it's a meditation room. Let me tell you, we didn't need to meditate, we needed to pray. And we went into there and we began to pray. We were asking God to be merciful. The doctor came in a little bit later and spoke to the parents and said, we've got her breathing, but we need to get her to another hospital as soon as we can because she is in grave danger and we don't have the equipment here to save her life. And so they transported the baby to another hospital. And the baby's health got worse and worse and worse. She had probably been without oxygen for about 10 to 15 minutes for the ride to the hospital. And the doctor just told us, if she lives, she will be brain damaged. So the dad, who was a pastor at our church, came to me and he said, I feel like we need to lay hands on my daughter. But I want to ask every single church in Riverside to come and pray with us. So pastors from Harvest came, the Grove came, many other churches that you've never heard of, they came. We had 10 pastors who showed up at one time to lay hands on an 8-week-old baby in ICU in an oxygen tent. The hospital made an exception. They said there's nothing we can do. They don't normally allow that many people in the room. We all had to scrub up, get ready. We went in, and I'll never forget it. The pastor looked at me, and he said, I just feel like before we pray, there's 10 pastors. He said, I feel like we need to confess our sin. And he said, please confess your sin. My daughter needs powerful prayer. It's 10 pastors. I wasn't going first. And one by one, pastors confessed fear, anxiety, lust, anger, doubt, hurt. One by one, pastor after pastor began to confess their sin. Then I confessed. I was like, I had them all. Like every single one. I was like, yes, 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 yes. And then we prayed. We prayed together after we confessed our sins to each other. 10 minutes later, she was awake, breathing on her own, and within a half hour, she was in her mother's arms, and the doctors could not explain it. And one doctor that was present said, I don't use this word lightly. He said, but I just saw a miracle. That 8-week-old baby is 17 years old. Does better in school than my children who did not have brain damage. And taught me listen to me, taught me the value of confession. You want your marriage healed? Confess. You want your finances righted? Confess. You want whatever issue it is that you're dealing with, you want it fixed? You want to not be married 7 times? Confess. Get real so Jesus will heal. That is why we need each other. Listen, God will forgive you, but your brother or sister in Christ in your community group, they'll let you heal because they are the arms, they are the hands, and they are the heart of Jesus. Get in a community group where you can be real. Quit playing games because your life can't afford it. So let me finish the story. Jesus has this conversation with this woman. She drops her pot, runs back, not like pot, like, sorry, it's California. Like some of you just got convicted. You're like, oh man, gotta drop my pot. Oh, this Jesus thing is intense. She dropped her water collection vessel, ran back to the town, and the text is very explicit. In your Bibles, it will say she told the townspeople. That's not what it says in Greek, and this is important. Here's what it says in the Greek. She told the men. Come meet the man who told me everything I ever did. What men do you think she went to? The men who knew her. They came. They heard Jesus Christ speak. They invited Jesus back to the town, the non-Jewish town. Revival takes place. Jesus speaks for 2 days. And the only time in the Gospel of John these words are used, in John 4:42, the sinful men of the city, you don't have it in your outline, sorry, my bad. The sinful men of the city, John 4:42 says this, surely Jesus Christ, listen to this, is the Savior of the world. Why? Because if he can save men like us, he can save anybody. And that all happened because one woman had a real conversation with Jesus. Get real so you can heal. I know you're an idiot. I'm an idiot. Jesus knows. He knows. But he's rooting for us. He's not here to judge us. He's here to set us free. But listen to me, before the truth can set you free, it has to deal with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much. Give us the courage to get in community groups and get real. I pray this in Jesus' name. I love these people. Bless them with your presence, your love, and your grace. Amen.